Our God is a good God. He loves us. He has a plan and purpose in our lives. Amen. He has great plans. He has great purpose. And He's chosen us to fulfill that plan and purpose. Sometimes we always have a question as to why are we born? What is the reason? What is the purpose? Sometimes we don't realize or sometimes we don't understand what is that reason and purpose. There's a guy in the Bible, Jonah. Jonah always had that question. God told him to go to speak in Nineveh. I don't know how you say that. Nineveh, whatever. But God told him to do that. But that was the vision. That was the plan. That was the purpose that God had created him into this world. But he ran away from there, and he wanted to hide. God chose us to fulfill a certain plan, a certain purpose, and we run away like Jonah sometimes. We run away with our plans, with the things that we have, with the programs, the schedule, and we miss out on the plan of God. Now, I wanted to share my testimony with you. I'm from India. I'm Barnabas Kumar. I'm from India. And I was born in the south part of India called Bangalore. And my city, as I said, we have about 8 million people. And well, my wife Ashley came to India on a mission trip. And that's how I met her. Long story short, God brought us together. And when she moved, when I moved to the U.S., I first moved to Wilkesboro. So coming from 8 million people to Wilkesboro was like a different planet. When we were driving on the road to the town, where are people? I hardly could see people. There in India, you see people everywhere. And there was hardly anybody there. I was like, all the trees are dead. Where are all the people? And pretty much in India, our roads are really bad. We've got, you know, potholes, and it's just crazy. I can sleep pretty much anywhere. In the bus, standing, I can sleep, or just sitting, or just if I just sit down for 5 minutes, if I don't talk, I can just go to sleep. So I can sleep pretty much anywhere for however long. It's good. Well, I have a wonderful blessing of sleeping. Unfortunately, when I came to the U.S., for the first time in my life ever, I couldn't sleep because it was so silent. I open the door, I see deers. I'm like, whoa, what in the world? Where have I come to? A wrong planet, probably. But it was amazing from where I come from to how things are. So that's where I was born. And before I was born, I have to start with my story. That way you can understand the whole sequence. It takes at least 5 days for me to complete my testimony. But if you are willing, I can start from now. And we can serve you food and we can sleep here and then get up again and talk. Now, I will try to share before you guys finish church, like 12. Okay, so I will make sure you go home and have your food. So my great-grandfather was like a king, leader who ruled about 8 to 10 villages, and my grandfather was not exactly the one to take up the throne, but he had the opportunity to rule a couple of places, but my grandfather wanted to join the military. He saw they were recruiting for war. So he wanted to go to the city, but my great-grandfather said, no, you have to be here, you have to take in charge of the family. But the family heir, you need to take charge of this, our villages and take care of the people. But one day he decided that he would run away. So in the morning he woke up like probably about 4 o'clock or something like that, fell at my great-grandfather's feet, received this blessing without his knowledge, and off he went. He went to the city. He joined the military, and when he was in the war, one of the British officers introduced him to Jesus. He got baptized in River Jordan when he was in somewhere in Israel, in some part of Israel. He got baptized and he accepted Jesus and he became a Christian when he was about like 50 or something like that. And then my father was born and I'm the third generation Christian. So that's our way, that's how my family was introduced to Christ. So before that, they were all Hindus. So India, primarily, you have Billy Graham who came and spoke to you. Billy Graham is from the south part of India. I'm also from the south, from Bangalore. But I got to meet him and talk to him. It was a good opportunity. And Billy Graham is in Billy Graham Paulos, you know what I'm talking about. So that's where I come from. And when my grandfather, after the war, he came to a city called Bangalore. That's where he moved to. And in India, they do arranged marriages. So they were looking for a girl for my father. They found, because my dad is about 6'1", he's tall. So they're looking for the right height, good family. They do arranged marriage. So they were trying to do all that formalities, everything that has to be proper. And they finally found a girl who was kind of equal, kind of good height, a good family, and they got married. And then my mom is like almost the ninth child. She's one of 10, so 9 or 8. I don't know where she is. I can't keep up with that, all the brothers and sisters. Now, some have gone to be with the Lord. Some are still alive. But she did not know how to take care of family. She did not know how to cook, and she did not know what was marriage all about. Because she just finished her 10th grade and she was at home. And that's when they got a marriage. She was like probably 16 or 17 years old. And as soon as she got married, she was pregnant with me, with a child. And she did, my dad's side, the family, they were like, you don't know how to take care. You don't know anything about, you know, family and stuff. So you need to abort this child. So my dad was gone on a trip, ministry trip or something like that. And she took some Indian herbs and some stuff that she could eat and abort the baby. So she tried to do that, but God had a plan. God had a plan. God had a purpose. Ta-da! And there I am. I was born. And the day I was born, it was early in the morning, about 4 o'clock, 4 or 4:30, and she saw a spirit, a black kind of spirit, come and pick me up, and she screamed and aired her lungs out. The whole hospital heard, and in India they usually keep the mother in the hospital for at least 2 days, and then they send them home. But the same day, by 10 o'clock, they sent her home. And because they couldn't keep her, she was very scared. And I became very sick after that. She saw a spirit kind of lift me up. And when she screamed, the spirit just dropped me and went away. And so those days, my grandmother was just coming to know Jesus. And she took some flip-flops, put it on her head, and places like that. Because in India, they believe if you do that, demons will flee away. So they were just coming to know Jesus. But God had already chosen me and he had a plan. We heard about Joseph among all those people, all those million people. God had a plan in Joseph's life. So just like that, with all those million people in the city of Bangalore, God had chosen me, which my family in those days, in the early days, did not understand. And so when she saw that, they sent her home. I became very sick. I was attacked by jaundice and close to being attacked by polio. And God rescued me. God saved me. I'm a left-handed person. God saved my left hand. When they put the injection, my hand was all swelling and blood used to come out of it. But God saved me. Amen. And then when I was 2 years old, I was kind of running around, and on my dad's side, about 14 brothers and sisters, And so they were all coming, they work in different parts of India and different parts of the world. So they would all come for, just like you guys have, you know, family time, December. They come at summer times. So they were all there at summertime. And I was running around. One of our neighbor always keeps watching. People going, coming. She doesn't hardly have a job. That's her job, to look for people outside. So she knows, she couldn't keep up because there are so many people. But every time something happens, she knows, the neighbor knows. So, but while I was running around playing, somebody came and gave me a candy, and the person took me away. She thought it's one of the family members, because families from Saudi Arabia and places like that can't keep up with a whole lot of people. She could keep up with some, she was getting old, so she couldn't keep up with everybody. And by the time I was gone, people were, my cousins were all big, everybody was looking for me, Barnabas, so they called me Bernie or Barney, is my pet name. So, where's Barney? So they were looking for me and nobody could find. So the neighbor came and, what's going on? Why are you all panicked? Oh, we couldn't find Barney. We couldn't find him. And she said, oh, I saw one of your family people give him a candy and take him away. Oh, who is that? So they looked, everybody's there. But somebody outsider had come and taken me away. And by the time they were looking, it was almost getting to, it happened somewhere about 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 3, by probably about 3, I should say. By 5:30, my dad had a Bible study, and so one of the guys, his name is Amarnath, he was coming for the study. I always called him Stanley for some reason. So anyway, Stanley, according to me, Amarnath, was coming, and he saw me at a railway station with somebody else holding me, and he waved to me, and he said, hey, Bernie, and the guy, whoever heard that, I apparently turned and responded to his response, and he dropped me, and he was the train moving. He jumped onto the moving train, and he left. Thank God he didn't jump with me on the moving train. He just dropped me on the railway station. So Amarnath came, he picked me up, and he was wondering what was going on. And when he came home, everybody was looking for me. And he said, I saw him at the railway station close by. And that's how God brought me back home. That was the first time God saved me, when I was 2 years old. So God saved me before I was, you know, my mom was, she ate some herbs. I was to be about it, but God saved me. And then I became sick. God saved me. And then when I was 2 years, God saved me. And then when I was in school, I think it's probably third grade, me and my friend Venkatesh, we were, he's a rich friend, and he said, I'd like to go get some candy. In India, we get candy or ice cream once a year, maybe, when, you know, when Santa shows up, like, that's my aunt, when she comes, she gets us candy. So only when she comes, then we get something. Otherwise, Santa doesn't show up in India for some reason. Anyway, so candies and ice cream are very special. So my rich friend has money. I'm from a very, very poor family. And so I said, okay, let's go get some candy. So we slowly snuck out of school. We opened the door. The watchman was asleep because it was Friday, and it was afternoon, after lunch, and he was probably had a good heavy biryani. In India, biryani are very special for special occasions. So he probably had biryani, and it put him to sleep. So he was kind of asleep. We slowly opened the door. We snuck out. As we were going out, we saw two men covered. Their faces were covered. Only their eyes we could see, and they grabbed us. And they tied us and put us onto a bicycle, and they started pedaling away. My friend screamed, but one of the guys took a knife and put a mark on him, and he said, if you scream, I'm going to cut you. So we couldn't scream. We were crying, but they tied us, and they took us away. And they started pedaling us to a certain distance, and they went onto a place where the railway track is there, And beside the railway track, people could walk, and mopeds can go. There's a little bit of space. If you Google India, you will see trains packed with people, but you could also see a sideway people walk. In America, you probably don't see that. But and they started pedaling, and they took us, and we don't know, we forgot, we don't know where we were. Well, we were probably like, you know, third graders, so 9 years maybe. So we hardly knew the place. And then after a few minutes, we totally didn't know where we were. They took us, they were pedaling for at least, say about 20, 30 minutes, and we stopped. And then one of the guys stopped and he said, I'm going to go get some ice cream and we'll put something on it. That way they go unconscious and we can take him to the place where we should take them. So they were speaking in another language called Telugu. My language that I speak is Tamil, so I could not understand Telugu. I could understand a little bit, but then I did not understand a whole lot. Now I could speak a little bit and converse. But those days I couldn't. So my friend Venkatesh, he spoke Telugu, and he understood, and the guy said, you don't want to lose him, make sure you guard him. If we lose the other guy, it's okay, that is Venkatesh. We don't want to lose him, that's me. So, and the guy left. And so he said, my boss would be very upset if we lose him. So he went to get some ice cream. We were up on the railway track, and he had to go down into a small town. So my friend turned to me and he said, they have an eye on you. They want you more than me. So I think something really bad is happening. We've got to escape. So the guy turned and he said, what are you guys talking about? So my friend Venkatesh showed his finger. In India, if you show this finger, that means you want to go to pee, to go to the restroom. So that's what the kids do in school. And the teacher is teaching, and the kids raise their hand, miss, miss. And she goes, okay, here you go. So that's our language, sign language of going to the restroom. So he showed his finger, and he said, you act too, act like you have to go. I said, okay. And so the guy untied us, and we turned around. He said, don't go, just act. And I said, okay. And he said, we have to jump, we have to escape. So we were trying, we were just turning around, we acted, and that guy turned around the other side, and he wanted to go pee, and so he put a stand for the bicycle, he was turning, and we were trying to do it, and he, Venkatesh said, jump. So we jumped from on top, this railway track, we slid it down, and down where in India, we have a lot of buffaloes and a lot of pigs. They sit in a place where it's dirty and dark. They like it cool down there. It's very, very dirty. And this huge sewage pipes, which are broken, and that's where they like to rest. And we jumped in between those big sewage pipes, went straight inside. We had nice white shirt and nice tie. We look good-looking school students, but now we are totally jet black. Totally jet black with our eyes dirty with dirt. And then we crawled inside those huge sewage pipes. As we crawled in, we saw little puppies, and my friend said, hold it, hold it. So why? He said, just do it, just do it. Okay. I was holding on to a little bit, two or three puppies. He was holding on, there were at least 10. He was holding on to a couple of them. And the sewage pipes are big, and he went, I was sitting on this side, he crawled up to the other end, and he was sitting. And we were sitting, we had our bags, and our shirts are dirty, we both on both ends. And he said, just hold on, when I tell you to let go, let go. I said, okay. So I was sitting, and with my bag rested at the round pipe, and I was just sitting right there. And then we could hear the other guy come up, and he was like, you lost the boys. Where are the boys? So they got mad. They were shouting. We could hear them. And then they were trying to come down, but they didn't want to get inside the dirt. So somehow they came over onto those pipes, And the guy wanted to look down. He wanted to scoot down and look. And we could feel them on top. We could feel the pot move. So my friend said, let it go, let it go. So I let the puppies go. And he let them go on this side. And the guy who was about to look, he said, there are puppies down there. If the mother dog is there, it'll bite. And I don't want 14 injections around my stomach. In India, they do that. You get 14 rabies shot around, and it's you don't want that. So he's like, I'm not doing that. The mother dog is very protective. I'm not going to look down. And so he did not. For us then, it was just a simple thing, just a little puppy. But God was over that. He protected us. Just that the idea of the mother dog, for him to come and bite him, and the rabies shot stopped him from looking down. If they looked, they would have caught us. But they didn't. So they were very upset. They went away. And then we were sitting there. We just went off to sleep. We were so tired, we just went off to sleep. And after a couple of hours, we woke up, and it was almost getting dark. And I started to cry. I'm like, I'm hungry, and we have to go. So Venkatesh got up, and he said, okay, let's go, let's go. So we came up, and then we did not know which direction we came from. We got confused, and we were arguing that we came this way, and he said that way. We said, okay, finally, we said, if we go back, probably they'll be that side. So we took the opposite wrong direction, and we started walking a little further. We found a place where there was a small village. So we got down from the railroad track, pumped water, we cleaned ourselves, and then we walked a little further. We found a truck, took a ride, went to a small town. We got down there, and then I was sitting. My friend went. He said, I'm going to get food, and I'm going to find something. And I was sitting and crying. I was the crying person. He is the bold person. So he went up. He said, don't cry. I'll take care of it. So he walked. So I was sitting and crying, and he walked away. He went to a restaurant, spoke to the manager, and he said, hey, we are kidnapped. I need food. So the guy was like, what you talking about? So he said, my friend was back there. He's crying. You probably believe him more than me. So just get us food. We can go. So they packed some food. He came in a car, and I was like, in India, coming in a car is like a big deal. So I was like, he walked, and he's coming in a car. What's going on? So the guy got down of the car. He came and put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, what's going on? He took me away. Venkatesh was sitting inside the car. They closed the door. He wanted to make sure if we were lying. So he took me aside, wanted to ask me what happened. So I told him the whole story. So I told him the whole story, and then it took us to the police station. They gave us food and took us to the police station. The police checked our bags. They thought probably we stole money, and we ran away, left the house, and we ran away. Because in India, it's like a lot of no food, poverty, you struggle to kind of run away. So that's probably, they thought, was the idea, that somehow God has saved us. That's, I can go on, but I'm just going to make it really short. So anyway, so that's one of the ways that God saved me. And I went to the police station. They called my dad, and then, long story, my dad came and picked me up at 3 a.m., and God brought me back home safely. And that's the second time. The third time was 1992. It gets even better. And you're probably wondering, why were you kidnapped? That's probably your question. Why were you kidnapped? What's going on? So I was kidnapped, one, because God had a plan. God had his purpose, just like God has a plan in each one of our lives. And the enemy wants to stop that plan. Throughout the scripture, you will find when God brought Moses, the enemy wants to stop. So he comes up with a plan. And then you find Joseph. And then you find, you know, people like that throughout the scripture. You will find God chose one person and the enemy wants to stop. And then you come to the book of Acts. And then the Acts is still living, which just like Pastor Dale was saying, you come to the life of Barnabas. And Barnabas, who came back alive from the New Testament, and he is living in this place called Bangalore. and God wants, and the enemy wants to stop his plan. God has a plan and the enemy wants to stop. So he planned to do this. And the other thing that I was kidnapped was for a human sacrifice. In India, people believe in human sacrifice in some parts, and now the city has changed. In case your church decides to come to India, you're most welcome. But you don't have to be scared. My city has changed a lot. Now we have skyscraper buildings and airport and all these cool stuff. So no more bad stuff. Anyway, so this time it was 92. It was December 25th. We went to church, and then afternoon my mom cooked us good food, biryani, and then we were going to the village to preach the gospel and do ministry. So I have 10 minutes. I think I'll try to squeeze the last bit. Anyway, so I was going to, my brother, my dad said, as I said, we get ice cream once a year. So my dad told my brother, why don't you go get some ice cream? We can have some ice cream. We'll celebrate Christmas. And let's go to the village. Every time it has to do something with candy or ice cream. Well, my wife suggested when I was writing the book, she said, what was the thing? How sugar almost killed me. Or something about candy, something. And, you know, I was trying to write my testimony into a book. And so we were praying for our title, and that's one of the titles she gave. Well, so here I am. My dad told my brother to go, and he started whining. Every time I have to go, he just sits at home. He's praying for people. He was kidnapped 2 times. So we want to be careful. We want to save him. So he was like, even on Christmas, I'm not going. Send him if you want to. So my dad said, you want to go? I said, yeah. So I went. As I walked out of the house, I was going. My dad said, you go this way, go that way, you be careful, you come back home. So I took the directions which he told me. I was going. I saw a van come by, and the door slided open. There was a man who was wearing a saffron dress. In India, saffron, those guys are called pujaris. They are guys at the temple. They are the pastors for the temple. They do puja. They do worship at the temple. So this guy, I was wondering, I said, this guy's supposed to be in the temple. What is he doing outside here? So he was standing, and I crossed him, and a van came and stood beside. The door slided open. This guy pushed me in. There were people inside who pulled me in. They tore my sweater. I still have my sweater and the shirt. That was the only one sweater that I had, and one shirt that was brand new for Christmas. So you get clothes once a year. So I got that just that day, brand new, and they tore it all. I was so mad. And this guy pushing me inside, I got so mad, and he twisted my left hand, and he was pushing me, and people inside are pulling me. I moved my hand, and I tried to hit him. I hit his lip, and probably his lip hit his tooth. He started bleeding, and he was like, he got mad. Right next to the driver, in India, we are the other side we drive, not left side. So right next to the driver on this side, there was a guy called Rishi. Maharishis are guys who sit in meditation for many years. They have long beard, long hair. So he opened a briefcase, gave a black cloth. So this guy took that cloth, put it on my face, and I fell unconscious. I could feel the car take off. I could feel the door slide close, and I just fell unconscious. They say probably, what is that, chloroform or chloro, whatever that is. They put it on that, and they put it on my face, and I fell unconscious. After a few minutes, I was in a place where both my hands and legs were chained, and my dresses were taken off, and I see a lot of young people, everybody nude, naked, dancing and worshiping. And they were worshiping the evil gods, and they were I see a goddess with her tongue outside. In India, the goddess with her tongue outside sitting on a tiger and has a spear and her leg on the chest of a man trying to remove the heart. So that is the goddess of sacrifice. So when I saw that, I knew something about sacrifice. Right then, I saw a girl who was from probably from Nigeria, who was given as a sacrifice. I saw her head chopped, blood running like water, and just like a fish jump out of the like a swimming, like a tank. Like you take the fish, it falls, jumps and dies. I saw her body jump and wiggle and die. And I knew I was the next person to be sacrificed. And all these young people worshiping, and all the sin that you can imagine, everybody naked, all the sin that you can imagine was right there in front of my eyes. I see all these goddesses. It looked like a small little cave, about 6 foot in height. My hands and legs chained and to the wall, and I was chained. And I suddenly woke up. I was down on the floor. I woke up and I stood, and I couldn't move because I was chained. And I saw all this happen. Then I heard a Chinese gong. And all these people came. There were these Maharishis who walked down there, and they stood on the side, and they were expecting somebody to come. And I saw this guy called Sai Baba. People worship him as God in India. And I saw him come. He sat on a throne which just looked like a crystal, like a made out of diamond. There was this rock that just turned. There was a cross which was tilted upside down, and a Bible. So people would come in, remove their clothes, they spit on it, and they started worshiping, and it was satanic worship. And right here to my right, I see the girl given as a sacrifice, and that stone, that cross, just turned, and I saw a throne, and that's where he came and sat. And then two guys walked up to me. One guy whipped me, and he said, "You need to deny Jesus." My question was, why Jesus? I grew up in a Christian family, but my dad was a very strict person. So I had a question. I did not want to believe in Jesus. Because I have lots of Hindu friends and Muslim friends. I go to school, my whole time I spend with them. But their dads were not as strict as my dad. Every Saturday you've got to read the Bible, memorize Bible verses. Otherwise, you don't get food. So, Jesus is a good God. Jesus loves children. Why is my dad so strict? In India, culturally, you train, you disciple them. But for me, it was very hard. Teenagers, we always rebel. That's how we do. So we started rebelling. Read the Bible. No, I won't. So, you know, so that was the way I was rebelling. And so my question was, why Jesus? I don't even believe in Jesus. Why not somebody else come and save me? Why should I deny Jesus? And so that was the day I realized that Jesus, inviting Jesus is a personal experience. Sometimes the enemy doesn't even know that. So he didn't even know that Jesus doesn't exist in there. So I just said, and I was called upon the gods, different gods that I wanted to. I have been to the Muslim mosque, I've been to the temple, and I called on those gods and I said, "Why don't you save me and I will, you know, live for you." And then I prayed. I said, "Jesus, if you are the true living God that my father preaches, if you are real, if all these things in the Bible is true, why don't you come and save me? If all these things, the Old Testament and the New Testament, you hear all these miracles happen, if all this is true, why don't you come and save me?" That was my cry. And I invited him. I said, "I invite you into my heart." And I saw a bright light in that place, but probably 50, 60 foot in height, like really, really tall, very powerful voice. "My son, let us go, for the Father has to be glorified." Can't even imitate that voice. It's so powerful, like a thunder. If you hear the thunder, every time you hear thunder, and you hear voice to the thunder, that's how it sounded. And that's the close I can explain. So he said, "My son, let us go, for the Father has to be glorified." I couldn't see wings or anything, but he was like really, really tall and big. And as soon as he said, I could see him turn and go, both my hands and legs chained, and I was like, excuse me, well, what about my chains? I was just trying to clear my throat and say, "Excuse me." And he said, "No questions, just obey." And I could see him go. And I was like, "No questions, just obey. What do I do?" I was just thinking, I was processing in my brain, and he said, No questions, just obey. I wanted to ask him, what about the change? And I said, okay, my dad always thought, like, you need to take a step of faith. You do your best and God will do the rest. So I said, okay, take a step of faith. So I just moved my leg forward and all the chains fell off. Amen? That's how God saved me. Yeah, that's the time to give God the glory. Yeah. And God just brought me out of that place. I saw Him walk before me and I walked behind Him. And God brought me out of that place. Long story, and the time is almost over. So I'm just leaving you with that. So why? Because you can read my book. So he walked before me. I walked behind him, just like Acts chapter 12, which Pastor was talking about. Peter was sleeping in the prison. Excuse me. An angel came and woke him up. And just like that, the angel showed up. Jesus showed up among 333 million gods. There was only one God that showed up. And that is Jesus, the true living God. I come all the way from India just to tell you that you might have believed in Jesus all your life. But this Jesus is true. And this Jesus really showed up in my life. It's not just a story. It's just not something that is a lie. It is true. I can testify. I am a living episode standing right before you. You might have heard stories. You might have read all this through your life. But to witness something like that, you see me right before your eye. And this Jesus is true. And I saw Him. The angel was walking. I walked behind Him. All those doors started opening on its own. And we came out. He stopped at a place and He looked at me. I was like a teeny bitty cup, like a grasshopper. The Bible is very true. That's what Joshua and Caleb said. And my time is over. Okay, my wife says, time out. So I was there. I'm just going to take a few more minutes. And I was like a little bitty cup. I could probably scratch his ankle. That's how tall he was. He looked at me and he said, Barnabas. Oh, you know my name. So he looked at me and he said, close your eyes. Oh, he said, look right there. I said, okay, and I looked. He said, what do you see? Nothing. He said, keep looking. So I looked and I saw a little light. And he said, what do you see? I said, I see a light. By the time I could finish, the light was right before me. I said, the light is here. So he said, and I could see a bright face, pinkish in color, very powerful, I can't express. I saw a big sword in his hand. He was standing like that. And he said, Barnabas, this is Michael. Michael, this is Barnabas. And he introduced me to Michael Archangel, and that just blew my mind. And I can tell you, when Peter was up on that mountain of transfiguration, he said, Lord, people down there, they're crazy. Let's just put tent up here and stay. I can imagine why Peter said that. And I can relate to that because I was right up there and I didn't want to leave that place. I saw him and he said, Barnabas, God is destroying forces of darkness and God has chosen you to destroy the forces of darkness. And Michael is here to destroy. You are part of that. Unbelievable. Who am I? And God has chosen me to be a part of destroying the forces of darkness. And that's when I realized the call upon my life. To preach the gospel and to destroy the forces of darkness. Each one of you have a call. Each one of us have a plan and a purpose. And that's when he turned. And I could see him turn and go. I was like, I don't want to go. And I could see him. He said, no questions. He said, it's time. Let's go, for the Father has to be glorified. There's no time to waste. He said those words. And he walked. We came to a huge, big wall, and he stopped again. So I looked at him, and now what? So he stopped, and he said, he looked at me, and he said, close your eyes. I said, okay. And he said, open your eyes. It was just a blink. Close your eyes, open. So as soon as we blink open, we were out of that wall. And we were on a highway main road traffic was, people were, I see cars and traffic was going on. And I just wanted to say, excuse me, we are outside. I wanted to tell him, he brought me out. I wanted to tell him we are outside. He just disappeared. Many times we always want to tell God what to do. He's the one who's doing it. And I just reached out and I said, excuse me. He just disappeared. And my eyes couldn't take it. It was so bright, like thousands of lights, wads put together, and now it's gone. And my eyes couldn't take it. It was like, wah, 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 wah. I couldn't take it. And then I opened, I closed, and then I was able to look. And immediately I remembered I had no clothes. And then I looked at myself. I had all my clothes on. My sweater was on, my shoes, everything was on. God even knows how to call us. Sometimes here in America, you probably don't understand that, but in India, when we don't have clothes, it means a lot when God clothes us. And I grew up very, very poor. One room, six people sleep on the floor, all of us. I have two brothers, one sister. That's how I grew, very poor. But God took care of me. Today, if I'm here in this land, it's only because of the grace of God. Amen? And there he brought me out. I knelt down and I said, God, I don't know if this is a dream. I was just walking down the road to get ice cream. And in a few hours, here I am. All this thing happened. Is this a dream or is this really happening? It is really happening. So, thank you for saving me, but what do I do now? So he said, my son, go the way he left you. So, okay. So that's where he left. I got up, and without even thinking, I turned back and looked. He said, not to turn. I forgot that part. And as I was coming out of that place, both my hands and legs were chained, and he was walking before me, and he said, no questions, just obey. So the chains fell off. I was coming back, and I saw all these doors opening. There were people crossing, like 12 o'clock, these guys who were guarding the place. I just actually passed through a human body. So I just wanted to see what happened. I wanted to turn. By the time my brain could process that, he said, don't turn back. Okay, so I didn't. So well, now I'm outside, I'm kneeling and praying, and I said, thank you for what you did. Now what do I do? He said, go the way he left you. So I started to walk up and go, and I just accidentally turned before even thinking. I looked behind. So the place where I was walking was not the place where I am before me. The before me is the same, but behind me is totally different. I was walking on that road, it was totally different. But from there, I remember a roundabout. From there to come to my house, it takes at least 45 minutes to an hour. I just thought to myself, how am I going to go home? Probably I have to walk. So I was walking, I came to the roundabout, I looked to the floor, I looked up, and then by the time I looked at again, I was standing on a railroad track close to my house. And God just kind of transferred me there. So I went home. There were a lot of cops. People were all over the place praying and looking for me. And I walked inside the house. I removed my shirt. I wanted to show them the whip mark, but not a single whip mark on my body. And they were wondering what was going on. So I told them everything that happened. And there was this inspector called Inspector Umesh, the county police guy, the chief guy. He removed his hat. He knelt down and he said, I've never heard anything like this before. I have heard a lot of children being kidnapped, but I've never heard anybody return. I want to believe in this God that you talked about. I want to believe in the same Jesus that you talked about. So my father introduced him. My dad introduced him to Jesus. He got baptized. I got baptized. The following week, my dad baptized a whole bunch of people who heard me that day. And that was the first experience where people started to believe in Jesus and get saved. Ever since, I have traveled all around the world, traveled quite a bit of countries, traveling and speaking and sharing my testimony and telling people that Jesus is true. And I thank you for giving me this opportunity to share with you. I just want to give you one verse from 1 Thessalonians
First Thessalonians chapter, the last chapter talks about he who has called you is faithful to complete. There's a song also which says he who has called you is faithful to complete the work that he started in you. He's faithful. Amen? So if he's called you, you may be, you know, above 40. You may be less than 40. Wherever you stand, if he's called you, he's faithful to complete the work that he started in you. So I just want you to remember that and be encouraged this season. This is a season, like it's a rhyming where they say Jesus is the reason for this season. But he is the reason. There's no other reason. People are focused on the tree. People are focused on Santa. But they forget the real purpose, Jesus. And this is a season that I want you to be encouraged to believe in a God who is true. The God that you worship, the God that we sing every Sunday, the God that we read in Bible every day, is a true living God. And He's faithful to complete that which He started. You may be going through some stuff today, whatever it is, He's faithful to complete and help you and get you out of the situation. He helped me out of a big situation. Your story may not be as mine, but your story has a story to it. It definitely can impact somebody. I just want you to close your eyes for just a minute before I hand it over to Pastor. I want you to close your eyes and just commit yourself. Recommit yourself. Recommit yourself and say, Jesus, I just recommit myself to you this morning. Thank you for this wonderful testimony. Father, we just want to thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for being so faithful to us. God, we thank you for the way that you saved me and brought me. I stand as a living testimony here before these people and share the truth and the goodness about you. The Bible says, he who is called is faithful to complete the work that he started. And God, I pray that you will complete the work that you have started in your children this morning. I pray that you will touch them in a special way. Speak life, I speak power, I speak declaration upon them that they will go back to their homes with that peace, with that joy, with that excitement that you are a God who's faithful. I speak blessing upon them. Thank you for the church. We thank you for Pastor Darrell, for the call upon his life. I pray that you will bless him and the ministry, and I pray that even as they bless many, many ministries, that they will grow from one level to another and that your name will be glorified. We love you, we adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.